محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين، محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين، والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم. أوذيت في الله لم تهزم ولم تهيني، أوذيت في الله لم تهزم ولم تهيني، حتى غادت أمة الإسلام في النجوم. يا صلي وسلم دائما على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق حبيب الله رسول الله إمام المرسلين، حبيب الله رسول الله إمام المرسلين. سريت من حرم ليلا إلى حرم كما سرى البدر في تاج من الظلم، سريت من حرم كما سرى البدر في داج من الظلمين، وبتك ارقى الى ان نلت منزله من طاب ارض سيري لم تدرك ولم لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك، لبيك حجا حقا تعبدا ورقا، لبيك مرهوبا ومرغوبا إليك، لبيك ذا النعماء والفضل الحسن، لبيك وسعديك والخير بيديك والرغباء إليك والعمل، لبيك ذا المعارج لبيك ذا الفواضل، لبيك إله الحق لبيك، لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
نحمد ونسلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمن بالخير. الحمد لله رب العالمين، A very, very, very warm welcome to all the friends here. And so happy to see many of you come very early, mashallah. And I'm so proud of those, mashallah, helping each other here. Barakallah fi. How many of us are super happy and super excited today? So go ahead and show me some smiles if you are here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's peace, mercy, and his blessings be upon you, right? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. What a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be here for his sake. So welcome to our online class. Those who are joining us for the first time today, Alhamdulillah, yesterday we accomplished a lot of things. And one of that, some of you were sharing very nice learnings from yesterday. And one of them was that we are going to follow some digital rules to make the most of our time. So I love your smiles. I love your laughter stares. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you happy, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you a reason for spreading happiness, right? How many of us would like to stay happy and spread happiness? Type one. And when I ask you to type something, you're going to type one single one. Excellent. I'm so proud of those friends who are joining us with their IDs today, mashallah. And slowly and gradually, we'll all do that. We will log in with our ID. And we all agreed that digital rules are going to be very important for us to make the most use of our time. Okay. So inshallah, you are going to contain your excitement and do some extra zikr and say alhamdulillah. And on the text prompt, you're going to only type what I will ask you, inshallah. Does everybody agree with that? Yes, then give yourself a big pat on the back. MashaAllah. I am very, very blessed. And I really enjoy that, mashallah, most of you are very, very mindful kids, mashallah, and you know how to follow directions, right? So today's class, we have 10 to 12 years old. So you are my really kids who are very sensible, responsible. So go ahead at this time. The instruction for you is to go ahead, write in the chat box, not on the screen, but write on the chat box with your full name, okay? And mark attendance. So you're going to go ahead and write your beautiful name, and you are going to write that I am present. And at the same time, you are going to reset your intentions to be here. So quietly sitting at our places, I myself, I'm going to write my name, and I'm going to say, Labbaik, I am present. And I am going to just remind myself that I'm here for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am here to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So alhamdulillah, friends, you are typing present, but you can also, yes, so your written instruction was present, and you can even type labbaik also, okay? So labbaik means I am here. So a very, very warm welcome once again to you being here. And you can take a minute to give a special hug or a thank you to your mom or dad or your family members who helped you to be here in the company of the righteous to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I am so proud of those friends who are sitting here very prepared, mashallah, and they have their materials and things in front of them. So if you quickly want to just write this planner for yourself, you can do that. That today we will have these four sessions. Number one is nothing but the best book in the world. And what is that book? What is that book? Go ahead. Which is the book which is worth the most reading? Alhamdulillah, that's Quran. What a big name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we still have the Quran, right? So a good question there should be, turn the video on, no Zulkarnain, you can keep the video off. We will tell you by next week as we get settled, how am I going to check on you, okay? I'm going to tell you by next week, next Wednesday. If I need for you to turn the camera on and show me your supplies, I will ask you for that. So at this time, you can keep your cameras off and just focus with me here. Beautiful smile on your face, a writing accessory in your hand. I am sure some people have glitter pens in their hand. Some have nice. I really love pens, right? I really like the word even pen. I really love it. So it's the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, qalam, right? So a smart learner looks smart with their learning supplies. And at this time, when we move on to the sessions, I want you to be taking beautiful notes, okay? Awesome. MashaAllah. So the first session will be Quran. Then we will take some reminders for us on Ramadan. And then we will go into the story of the Prophet and get some reminders from there and some pillars of Iman. Okay. So if you want to take digital notes, that's fine with me as well. As long as you will be able to show me later, I am good with that. Digital notes is fine. Okay. And if you have, you like I even have my notebook next to me and I am jotting down and writing notes. And I'm also going to teach you how to annotate today. Okay. So you will be able to write some notes for me. So if you look at this green color ID, if you hover on it, there is an option of pressing annotate. So when I press this option, my toolbox appears on the top. Okay, so let me just make sure that I have some sound coming. So okay. So what I'm going to do is I can use these tools and I can even put some stars and I can put some stamps or things. And so you can be able to participate with me by writing even in the text. You can take a text box and you can write here, right? So proud of you, mashallah. Okay. So Aziz, you can also focus with me at this time. You can keep the camera off and you can just focus with me at the time. Okay, Aziz? So inshallah. So, and we talked about that one person sitting to the device so that you can make the most of this time. So inshallah, I'm going to let you annotate also once the time comes that at this time, you're going to move towards the Quran session. And which surah do you think we are doing? Go ahead and type. Those friends who know, who remember which surah we were doing, then go ahead and you can type the surah name at this time. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. If you have memorized Surah Ma'un, then go ahead and type one. If somebody has not memorized Surah Ma'un, go ahead and type two. Just want to make sure that is there anybody who has not memorized Surah Ma'un? Okay, so I have one friend. I hope you can during this time. Okay, I have a couple of friends who have not memorized Ma'un. So then my next question is, how many of us would love to memorize Surah Ma'un and recite with understanding? That will be a three. I would like to make sure my memorization is correct. And I would like to make sure that I've recited with understanding. All right. Now, no more typing in the chat box and just focus with your notes. Okay. So I'm going to take 10 seconds, get this bad guy out of here by saying that I was. And if anybody types in the chat box, that means you're not listening. Okay. So let's hold on to any thought for now. And no more typing in my chat box. Is that good? Alhamdulillah. So you don't have to say this to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's cameras are everywhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, he is with us, and we have the Kiram and Katibi noting down everything, right? So the first thing we're going to do is seek protection of Allah from the curse shaitan, and you can write the word and the meaning in your notebooks too. So we're going to say this, and you're going to say this at your place, okay? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. A'udhu, I seek protection. Billahi, of or with Allah. Min, from. Ash-shaytan, shaytan. Ar-rajim, the rejected, the cursed one. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismi, in the name. Allah, Allah. Ar-Rahman, the entirely merciful. Ar-Rahim, the especially merciful. Okay, it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are sitting here together, alhamdulillah, and going through this. Now, as we will go through Surah Ma'un, the words, right, we have limited time, so inshallah we will try to make the most of this time. If you miss something, then are we going to panic? No, inshallah we will skip a little place for that, and then later we can go back and we can catch up on our notes, or towards the end you can ask me. At the end of the session I will open up for question answers. At that time, if you have anything missing or is there any clarification that you want, you are going to get it from me. Okay, inshallah. So Are you ready? Then go ahead, type one at this time if you're ready for Surah Al-Ma'un. Surah Al-Ma'un is a Makki surah, and it was revealed in Makkah. And we discussed yesterday that it came after Surah Al-Quraysh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling them that they were made the custodians of this place. And yet, they instead of worshipping the Lord of the Makkah, they started doing something else. Okay, friends, if you are typing one, I assume that you are the only one there and you're only typing only one. So mashallah, tabarakallah to all those friends who follow directions. Give yourself a big pat on the back. And some of our friends who are just going to type extras, I will have to take some action, okay? So we are observing, the chat is being recorded, we are observing, and we might have to take you out of the room because we would like all to be very focused, especially when we are with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so give me a smile if you're happy that we're going to do this classroom with a lot of respect and with a lot of manners, right? The best class ever is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's about the Quran and the Hadith, and this deserves the most respect from us, right? MashaAllah, thank you for typing one smiley and typing one word. That's really good, and I can see who is doing what, right? You don't have to duplicate or write two or three times. I can read in one time, and I am sure you can read in one time, right? So let's go to the first verse, and you can be writing the word meanings while I will recite them to you, and you can be reciting as well at your end. Verse number one. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. أَرَأَيْتَ, have you seen, الَّذِي, the one who, it's singular, that one person, يُكَذِّبُ, he denies, بِالدِّينِ. What is deen? With the day of judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us a question that, have you seen the one who denies the day of judgment? Okay? And we are going to see some qualities that this person has when this person denies the day of judgment. Verse number two. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. فَذَلِكَ, then that, or for that, الَّذِي, you notice this was in a previous ayah as well. So it is the one who, يَدُعُ, he drives away. It's the opposite of like دَعْوَت or دَعْوَة, you call somebody. And يَدُعُ is like an opposite. He drives away. Who? الْيَتِيمِ, the orphan. Okay? Kashif, we talked about the rule, right? If you miss something, we will have questions at the end, inshallah. Okay. Verse number three. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Wa, and, la, not, or does not. يَحُضُّ, he feels the urge, or he feels motivated, or he feels compelled, ala, to, or upon, ta'ami is like feed, ta'am is like your food when you eat, right? Al-miskeen, it's the poor, somebody whose life has come to a still, from like, you know, you have heard the word sakoon, so sakana is when the life has like come to a like a halt, okay? And does not. So what are these two qualities mentioned here? Number one, this person, in the verse number one, this person denies the days of judgment. As a result, what's happening is that he's the one who drives away the orphan. So we get from the scholars that the reason for this revelation of the surah was there's a person who was not willing to help those who were orphaned, and he was not, we even get his name, that he was not willing to feed the poor. So when he would slaughter like two camels every day, but one time an orphan came to ask him for some food, and he like pushed him away. Okay, so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to self-check ourselves as we are reading this. And I hope you are making a self-checklist for yourself. Number one, from verse number one, do I deny the day of judgment or do I believe in it? Because if I believe in the day of judgment, then I will know that every letter that we are saying right now is going to be 10 good deeds or more. Okay. Shayan Mubashir, this class is in English. So we will not be doing this class in Urdu. Okay. So I hope you read and you understood when you joined this class. All right. So the second thing is, do I help an orphan or do I drive them away? That's a self-check question for myself. And I see somebody poor, somebody in need, what is my reaction to that? And do I feel the urge to feed the poor? Because somebody who denies the day of judgment, they do not feed the poor themselves. And at the same time, they do not even tell others to do it. Because if they tell somebody else to do it, they're going to come back and say, hey, why don't you do it? And they're not ready for that question. Okay, so let's go to the verse number 4, inshallah. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ فَوَيْلٌ, so woe. Wail is also like a name of a valley in the hellfire. For who? لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, to those who pray. This is the word from Salah, same word, subhanAllah. Incomplete knowledge can be so dangerous. If you just quote this verse, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, what is it meaning here? So woe to those who pray. But the sentence is not complete here. There is a detail coming up next. Verse number 5. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ أَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. الَّذِينَ, those whom they, an, about or from, صَلَاتِهِمْ, their prayers, sahoon, are neglectful. Have you heard the terminology of sajda-e-sahv, type 1, if you have heard that terminology, type 2, if you have not heard that terminology? So sahv is also when you forget something in salah and you make that extra prostration or sujood to make up for that missing of something. So here, these people, the one who denies the day of judgment, they have this quality that they are praying, but they are heedless of their prayer. So again, in my notes, I'm going to write self-check. Am I heedless of my prayer? Okay, Jazakallah khair for me letting me know. So as I said, those who do not know about it, it's when you forget something and you make that extra prostration in salah. So these people, they are praying, but they are heedless. They have no idea what they're doing in their salah, right? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. Let's go to verse number 6 and see what else this person does and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about. Verse number 6. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. الَّذِينَ, that's the plural of الَّذِي, those whom they, يُرَاءُونَ, they do ria, they make show or they show off. Okay, so they are just doing show off. And the last verse, in which comes the name of the surah as well. And you can write that when you are writing the information pack for surah Ma'un. It's a Makki surah and the name comes at the very last verse in the very end. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. Wa, and يَمْنَعُونَ, they deny. Like they do mana. Mana means when you stop something, stop somebody from doing something. So they deny. Al-ma'un. And what is ma'un? It's very small kindness. Like very simple things somebody asks, they are not willing to do it. They just say, oh, why should I be doing that, right? So let's say a neighbor runs out of, let's say these days, hand sanitizer. The person shows up and they ask, and you have like stacks of hand sanitizer in your home. And they show up and they ask, you know, can I have a hand sanitizer, right? So this person goes ahead and they say, oh, why should I give it to you? And they just slam the door and they come inside and they're like, why are they even asking me for that? So even if it's like a little kindness, like somebody's asking, can you please hold the door so that I can cross by? And this person is like, why should I do it? Why should I be doing it? Right? So these people are like, it's not even like bukhl, it's even worse than that. One thing is being thrifty and stingy. And one thing is like, even like small thing. Such a small thing. Let's all stay focused. Shayan, please, if you have questions, you can send to the email for the course coordinator, okay? And so even for little small things, they are not willing to give it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. Now we're going to write our lessons. And the smart people in my classroom are going to help us writing our lessons. Okay. So I'm going to allow you to go ahead and annotate, but I'm going to give you some blocks. Okay. You are going to use text only. Don't write with the, don't write with your hands. Okay. And you are going to make sure that you write inside the blocks here that I'm creating for you. Okay. So you can go ahead, get a text prompt and write some lessons that you take from Surah Al-Ma'un, inshallah. Okay, so once you are doing annotate, you have this option up here and you can pick the text and you can pick your color. No, please don't write with your handwriting. Go ahead, pick up the text from here. And you can go ahead and very good, mashallah, that you raised it. And you can pick up the size from here. So it's written in small. Okay. And you are just going to write below this point. You can make a block for yourself and then go ahead and you can write inside that. While I'm going to tell you some things, some other friends that they are going to note down. Okay. Friends, let's make sure that you're not writing with the hand. Pick up this text prompt. Okay. And make sure, I know this is something new for you, so you're just trying it out, but yes, like this, but not in my space. Okay, so erase this from here because I'm going to write something here. So go ahead and erase that when you wrote over there. Okay, and if you guys are good in complying, then I'll give you this privilege often, but if you're not able to use this wisely, then it will have to go away for everybody. So anybody who is writing, scribbling on my screen, your definitely name is written down, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us that we make a wise use of that. Now, I would like to tell you, while some friends are typing and helping me write their lessons, very good. There's a lesson of kindness, auction, excellent, give to the needy. Friends, keep making some more blocks, okay? You can make blocks for yourself and you can keep writing, mashallah, I love your lessons. While some other friends get comfortable with using the marker and everything. We will then, inshallah, put stars on which one we like. Like, for example, I'm going to give a star to this friend right here. Excellent, excellent, mashallah. And pray, very good. Salah is something really important. Make sure I'm giving like 2-3 stars to this person. Why? Because the font size was really small. The font size you can fix from here. Okay, so you can fix your font size. Now, those who are writing, please note down the first ayah was about wronging oneself when you're denying the day of judgment. The second and third ayah is like wronging people, right? And the fourth, fifth, and sixth is kind of wronging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by praying salah but being heedless or just doing it for showing off. And the last ayah again comes back about wronging people. Okay, so there are two things. Excellent. Never treat people different. Very good. Even a small kindness is enough. Very good. Never underestimate even a small kindness. So I want you to think about two big lessons that I want you to take away from today's session, okay? So make sure you write, you can make a person in the middle and you can write number one. And what is that number one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah is telling us that we not only need to pray. And number two, some people are in my area to write, but it's okay because it's your first day, you're getting comfortable. And number two is that we're going to take care of people, okay? Take care of people. So not only are you going to do that, believe in Allah, but you're also going to take care of people, all right? So let me just do a recap of that so you understand this better. There are two kinds of people that we commonly see around ourselves, okay? So now, very good, mashallah. Those of you who have written down, very good. I am going to keep it stable so some people can keep it. Can write in the notebooks right now. I've taken the annotate away and I am so proud of you, mashallah, those who wrote here. Excellent. And I love these words, mashallah. I'm going to put some stars here for you. This haqooqul ibad and this haqooqul حقوق الله. Beautiful words. This praying is حقوق الله and this taking care of people is حقوق العباد. Give yourself a huge big pat on the back. I am so proud of you, mashallah, tabarakallah. All right. So there's one kind of people that we see in our life. They keep on praying and praying and they have maybe memorized the Quran and they are up in the tahajjud and they are doing amazing things. But when you ask them to take care of people, they have no time for that. They're like, oh, somebody else can do it. I don't need to do this. And then there's another kind of people who take care of people. They do huge charities. But when you tell them that your salah, you need to do it properly, or you need to know what you're saying in your salah, or you need to pray five times a day, they say, oh, we are so busy, we don't have time to pray. Okay, so Suratul Ma'un, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that a balanced person who believes in the day of judgment will not only pray, but he'll also take care of people. So inshallah, we'll talk more about it, how you are going to be a better person by taking care of those who are around you. And you gave me a very good example. Don't judge people, accept the orphans, give to the poor, help others and don't be greedy. And if your brother and sister comes to you and they just ask you for just holding the door for them, or they just ask you for a little pencil, or they just ask you for a little something, sometimes it's just a smile. Sometimes it's just like you're coming out of the room and you just needed to turn the light off. And you're like, why should I do it? She came out of it. She has to close it. Then that's like, وَيَمْنَعُونَلْ. Now, you know, sometimes their towel is somewhere or their clothes was somewhere and you just pick it up and you put it for them. So think about it. Those who believe in the day of judgment, they go extra mile and they're not like this, that even a small act of kindness, they are so stingy about it. So barakallah fi in your learning and keep writing your lessons, inshallah, and we will move to our next session. And what is going to be our next session? Go ahead if you can guess. Go ahead. I gave you the planner. So let's see on the chat prompt. Dua? No, not yet. Ramadan reminder, not yet. Seerah, good job, Najm. Okay, so you got it. All right, so we'll move to Seerah with Sister Shaheen, inshallah. So get ready, inshallah. All right. And today you're going to teach your lessons from Surah Ma'un to everybody. Okay. Okay, why? If you can just give me, Sister Shaheen, if you can just do one thing I really wanted to do since we had the lessons written down. Can we all hear the recitation of Surah Ma'un one time? Yes? So let's focus and just enjoy the recitation and then let's get ready for Seerah, inshallah.
فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته How's everyone doing? Yeah, no, she didn't tell you to open your mics. But yes, alhamdulillah, it was good to listen to everyone together. For a second, did you guys have fun? Alhamdulillah. Okay, which session is this? Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan kathira, Sister Jabiria, for announcing us. Yes. Seerah, mashallah. What's the meaning of seerah? Yes. Okay. What's the meaning of sira? Biography. Yes, sira means to learn the deeds of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, things related to him, his life, events related to his life. Alhamdulillah, yes. Prophet's life. Okay, inshallah. Today we will continue, but before we continue, does anyone remember anything, any one point from last class? If they can raise hand quickly to share it in a second, I can unmute you, inshallah. Yes, WRWB means وَرَحْمَتُ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. Okay, so if any prophets, all events and aspects surrounding him, alhamdulillah, and yes, anything, any one point that you guys remember from, either type it, if you want to raise your hand, then go ahead and do it and we'll unmute you. Okay, Abdul Muttalib was the caretaker of Kaaba, mashallah, the tribe of Banu Hashim. Abraha wanted to destroy Kaaba. Yes, okay, Mustafa, I will go ahead and unmute you. So quickly take a minute, and I mean take less than 15 seconds and share. You are. I don't know, is your mic able? Stones were thrown on them.
It was that the Abraha got jealous. He wanted people to come to Yemen, but nobody came after he built a large temple. And then so he took enough elephants and people, but then Abdul Muttalib, the caretaker of the Kaaba, did dua to Allah, and then by the miracle of some birds picked up stones from the ground. And they dropped them on the elephants, and it destroyed the army.
MashaAllah, barakallahu fiqh, excellent. Yes, that was basically the crux of the story that we did yesterday from the session of Seerah. InshaAllah, we will continue today. We will do the next part. This happened, the whole event happened just the year when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born. Now we will do the time of his life when he was born, just after he was born, inshallah. So we will start with our du'as. A'udhu billahi minash shaytani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi zidni ilma. Yes, alhamdulillah. All those who know the du'as, please go ahead and recite with us. Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla wa anta taj'alul hazna sahlan idha shi'ta. O Allah, there is no ease except which you have made easy, and you ease out the difficulty. And since we are doing seerah, it's best to recite durood. Anyone knows what is durood? We send salams on Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So inshallah, just a small one. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Alhamdulillah. So today what we are going to do next in our seerah is yes. Why do we need to study seerah? Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to study seerah? Okay, so the reason we are studying seerah is because it is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to know Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. More than 50 times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to take this man, that is Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is an example and role model for us. Most important way for us to increase our love for him is by learning his seerah. If we know his seerah, that's how we're gonna know how much he suffered because of for us and to pass this deen to us today. And then it helps us to understand Quran. Like there are so many examples. Like yesterday, the surah that was associated with the part of seerah chapter that we did was Suratul Fil. So definitely we need to know seerah to understand Quran also. And the very interesting part for us today, after so many years of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is what? It raises our hopes that opposite to evil, the haq, the right will definitely win, right? And lifts up our spirits that inna ma'al usri yusra, definitely after hardship comes ease, and it blesses us with optimism. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most optimistic person. He was always positive. He always had positive attitude. He never had grudges. He never holded any situations or any incidents in his heart as a negativity. He would always have positivity in his heart, in his soul. So definitely that's something which uplifts our spirits and brings us optimism. Now, if we go to the next topic, what are we going to do today? Today we are going to talk about the early childhood of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Childhood, definitely, as we all know, is really is referred to the time of the era when someone is a baby, right? When someone is a baby, that's the time when we associate that particular time. So when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a baby, definitely the first and the foremost thing that comes is about his parents. Who was the father of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Does anyone know his name? If you guys want to just type it. If you guys want to, Abdullah, mashallah, barakillahu feek, Abdullah, yes. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father's name was Abdullah. What was his mother's name? His mother's name was Amina. Mashallah, barakillahu feek. His mother's name was Amina. What was his grandfather's name? He was Abdul Muttalib. You remember we did this yesterday. He was the one, the leader of the tribe of Quraysh. So that means Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam belonged to the tribe of Quraysh, right? And then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 9 uncles. There's very interesting stories about his uncles, which is also mentioned in Quran. Right, so the 9 uncles were Abu Talib, Hamza, Abbas, Abu Lahab, Harith, Zubair, Waidaq, Al-Ma'qun, and Zarar. Now, interesting is, like all other names are different except Hamza and Abbas. They have R-A with them. What does that mean? Yes, Abu Jahl? No, he was not his uncle. He was from the tribe Abdul Muttalib, yes. Radiallahu anhum, excellent Simra, mashallah. Yes, whenever we take name of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do we say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But whenever we talk about his companions, what do we say? If he's a male, we say radiallahu anhu, that may Allah be pleased with him. And if it's a female, we say radiallahu anha. Yes, mashallah, barakallahu feek. Yes, and why are these two associated with the tags? Yes, because they accepted Islam. So imagine, from the family, out of 9 uncles, only 2 accepted Islam. Inshallah, in the further down classes, we'll study a little bit more about Abu Talib and how he was with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he was not able to accept Islam. But Hamza and Abbas, radiallahu anhum, they both accepted Islam. Now, Abdullah, the father of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was a very noble young man from Makkah. And his mother, she was from Medina. Before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, Abdullah passed away due to sickness in Medina. Now, remember, when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, he already didn't have a father. His father passed away few weeks before he was born. Amina was very sad and she made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help her and her baby. Now imagine, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to be born. His father was already not there. Definitely it would have been a tough time. But what did Amina, mother of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, decided to do? Did she ask the family for the help from the family, go to friends, got depressed, was very sad, or she trusted Allah and she made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for herself and her baby? So the interesting part here for us to learn is that whenever we are in different situations, which is difficult, which does not look very easy to us, we make dua. But with making the dua, we definitely have to be confident that we make dua for ourselves as well as we make dua for people that are related, that are associated with us, and for the Ummah at home. She trusted Allah. Is my voice still lagging? Okay, we'll continue. So then what happened? One night, Amina had a dream. And in that dream, she saw a light coming out of her. And it made her feel her baby was very, very special baby. So then when she was worried and she made sincere du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one night in the dream, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed her that don't be scared, don't be sad, biznillah, everything is going to be fine. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds our heart, that whenever we are in worry, whenever we are sad, we are upset, and we make du'a, and then we have that peace in our heart. For sure, it might not be in the form of a dream, but yes, we definitely feel the peace, the satisfaction in the heart that yes, inshallah, everything is going to be okay. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on 12th of Rabiul Awwal. This is the third month of Islamic calendar. Now it's interesting that what you guys are going to do today in your Ramadan prep session is also something related to the months of the calendar. But before we go there right now, at this point, if I simply ask you, does any one of you know the 12 names of the 12 names of the month? You know the months of the calendar, mashallah, Mumin. Okay, you do, Laitha, Anaya, mashallah, barakillahu fiik, amazing. Yes, so the 12 months are Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal, Rabiul Thani, Jamadil Awwal, Jamadil Thani, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'idah, and Dhul Hijjah. So inshallah, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the month of Rabiul Awwal. That's the third month on the date of 12th. That's the day he was born. And that's the other interesting thing is that that's the only strongest reference we find from the book of our hadith, that that's the date when he was born. But yes, there is no evidence about the date he left this world, the date he returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's always a matter of confusion. There is no sure date about it. But yes, about the Rabiul Awwal, it's definitely sure. Then if we come back to our story and we continue, what happened next was Abdul Muttalib, who was he? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandfather. He was very happy to know about the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Many reasons. First of all, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his grandchild. The second thing, father of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already not there. So definitely it was the grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, who was going to take care of the baby. And then, yes, definitely it was that time when, alhamdulillah, the birth of the baby boys and would definitely make the community happy. So he was very happy. And what did he do when he found out that the baby boy Muhammad was born? He took the baby to Kaaba and thanked Allah. What he did? He took the baby to Kaaba and he thanked Allah. Now for him to take the baby to Kaaba that time was very easy, right? Abdul Muttalib is on mom's side or dad's side, yes. Laika, he is the grandfather, that is the father's father of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my really, really sweet request to all my little alims, that please, when we are talking and we are doing the session, if we are able to restrain and refrain ourselves from typing in the chat box, that would be really nice, as it would not distract everyone around us. Okay, if you have any question regarding the seerah, just hold on to a minute and we'll come back to your questions. Okay, so meanwhile, let's just focus and listen, and if you have any questions, just note them down and we'll come to that. Barakallahu feek. So yes, Abdul Muttalib, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandfather, was very happy, and out of happiness, what did he do? He took the baby and to Kaaba and thanked Allah. Now, right now, if anyone thinks that, okay, the only way of giving thanks is to take it to Kaaba and give thanks, is practically not possible for him. Yes, it was that he was in the same area. But for us today, what is the most important point to learn is that whenever any blessing, any glad tidings come to us, immediately, instead of celebrating, partying, hooting, or giving high fives, the first thing that we need to do is what? Thank Allah. Wherever we are, for example, if we're getting some good results and we are in the classroom, the least we could do is just say, Alhamdulillah. right? We have to say thanks to Allah, Alhamdulillah. If you are able to just bow down and make a sujood and say Alhamdulillah, that's the best. But at least when we receive any glad tidings, we have to thank. And very interesting part, that if we thank Allah, what happens? If we thank Allah, Allah increases us in that particular bounty. La in shakartum la azidannakum. That if you are thankful, I will increase you in your blessing. Alhamdulillah. So we have double bonus. After that, what was the first thing that he did? Abdul Muttalib named the baby Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was the one who named baby Muhammad, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what's the meaning of Muhammad? One who is loved and praised by all. Okay, one who is loved and praised by all. Interesting. Does anyone of you here have their name Muhammad? Just quickly type one. Yes, Abdul Hamid, okay. Yes, so those who have Muhammad in their name, definitely make sure that you do things and actions that will make you loved by everyone else. Okay? Like how Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's lifestyle and his personality was, the way everyone would love him. So if we want everyone to love us, then definitely our character has to be like him. The second very sweet part of Abdul Muttalib was that he would call the baby Muhammad even as Ahmed, which means much praised. And like all of us, we definitely sometimes our parents call us with very sweet, loving names. And that's permissible. Why? Because we find it from our seerah that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also called Ahmed. Okay. Back in the time when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a baby, the rich families of Makkah liked to send their newborn babies to live in the countryside as the air was clean and fresh. So since the city is polluted and there's a lot of pollution and it's not as pure, they would send the babies to the countryside, which like we call it villages or outskirts now, which has no pollution, lot of freshness, fresh air. Amina and Abdul Muttalib, mother and grandfather, decided to send baby Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 2 years to live with a family in the countryside. Yes, please, I personally request, try not to chat and just wait for a while and we'll come back to you. Okay, so after that, when Abdul Muttalib and Amina decided to send the baby to the countryside, a woman from the tribe of Banu Sa'ad named Halima came to Makkah to take the baby Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam back with her to her village to take care of him for like 2 years. Amina and Abdul Muttalib definitely liked Halima and decided to send baby Muhammad with her for 2 years. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a blessed baby. Definitely, he was a very blessed baby and he brought lot of barakah to everyone around him. What's the meaning of barakah? Barakah means abundance. The village of the tribe of Banu Sa'ad had drought. So when before the baby, Halima brought baby Muhammad with her to her own tribe, to her own city, what was there? There was drought. That means there was no vegetation, there was like no water, animals were dying. It was like pretty much no drought, nothing to eat sort of situation. But what happened? Soon after Halima brought baby Muhammad with her, it rained. Plants and vegetables began to grow and then people were very happy. That was a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After 2 years, it was time for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go back with his family. But what happened? Halima requested Amina and Abdul Muttalib to let Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam live 2 more years so he can grow into a strong and healthy boy. Right? So after first 2 years, he was sent by the family. But then after 2 years, with all the blessings and bounties, Halima requested to keep Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with her for 2 more years. That's like 4 years. He was almost a toddler. After baby Muhammad returned from Halima, he lived with his mother and grandfather who loved him very much and they took good care of him. So for initial years, he was sent only because for the fresh air, for the purity, and for the good health. But then once he came back, alhamdulillah, he was with a very loving, kind family. His father, his grandfather, and his mother, they definitely loved him a lot. So what are the lessons that we learned from the Seerah session today? If you guys want to go ahead and type, that would be really awesome. And then, inshallah, we can definitely share some points that I thought would be beneficial for all of us. Yes. If you guys want to go ahead and type, and meanwhile, we'll just see that what are the lessons that we learned? That we learned Seerah to attain closeness to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, the reason we learn is that we need to attain closeness to him. And unless we know about him, we will definitely not attain closeness. In sadness, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Okay, when receive any glad tidings or blessings, we give thanks to only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then blessings bring barakah, abundance. So always ask Allah for blessings. So alhamdulillah, these are the few points that we did. Bismillah, we will continue with our session next week. You guys will get more details towards the end of the class. Now let's move on forward with our next session. What is our next session? Any guesses? MashaAllah, Maryam, very good. Dua session, okay. No, it's not dua. Yes, it's definitely not pillars of Iman, Ramadan prep. Yes, inshallah, we have Ramadan prep. So, bismillah, we will continue our session. And let's see if we have. Yes, Sister Aisha is with us, and we will continue with her. Okay, Sister Aisha, you are unmuted, and please go ahead.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So, alhamdulillah, you're back again, and I hope you all remembered and you shared the beautiful dua that we did yesterday. Ahmed, can you just revise the dua real quickly for everyone? Can you say salam to everyone first?
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Yeah. So what was the dua that we did yesterday? Can you just quickly revise that for everyone? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-barasi wal jununi wal juzam wa min sayyi' al-asqam. So that's a good thing to kind of, you know, remember things and go back with that. So today, inshallah, we will be actually talking about the Hijri calendar. You must think about different calendars. There is a BC calendar, there's an AD, and all these terminologies you must have heard somewhere. CE. Because we don't have much time, I'm not going to go into much detail. However, I'm going to give you a little pointers so that you can ponder about it, and maybe you can do that as an activity with your parent or your sibling and do a little bit of research on it, and you will be amazed how exciting it is. When I was actually going through it, this was like... I learned that there are so many calendars in the world. There are like probably more than 50 calendars and New Year's that people are celebrating, whether it's Chinese or Iranian or Thai or Tibetan. I mean, it was really amazing. So let's talk a little bit about Hijri calendar. So we have Ahmed Mustafa here. So let's ask him a little bit. Okay, Ahmed Mustafa, what do you understand by Hijri? What does Hijri calendar mean?
Hijri calendar is when it was created when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, they went from Mecca to Medina. It was called the Hijra, so hence the name Hijri calendar.
Alhamdulillah. So it's actually a very important event that happened, which was the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina. And it was very important because an ummah was created on that particular event. And this is because of that ummah that me and you are here now as Muslims and doing this wonderful session here on this platform. So alhamdulillah, so that was basically the Hijra calendar. So the Hijra actually signifies the Hijra of the Prophet ﷺ, and that's when all the the months were there. So Ahmed Mustafa, can you tell me how many months are there in the Hijri calendar?
Just like a normal year, there are 12 months, but there are different types. They're not like 30 or 31 days. There instead there are 29 or 30 days. So on day 29, if there is the sign of the crescent moon, we move on to the new month. If there is not, then we add a 30th day, and then the day after that is the start of the new month.
Oh, that's amazing. So they're basically 29 days, or it can be 30 days. So if we can take an average, it will be probably 29.5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know the difference between the calendar that we follow, which is January, February, March, April, and of course the Hijri calendar? So what's the difference of the days between the two calendars that we follow?
What happens is that there's a 10-day difference. So there's probably going to be like 354, 355.
Yeah, things. Compared to what we are following.
Yes.
Okay, that's really interesting. So from this point of view, when is the Hijri calendar started last year?
It started on September 1st, 2019. And it's going to end on August 30th. 2020.
Oh, so it started on last year, the Hijri calendar, and so it's going to end, inshallah, on August 20. Okay, that's really very interesting. So one more thing that I want to ask you before I actually go and talk a little bit more in detail about what the months and everything signifies for us as Muslims. Which Hijri calendar are we following right now? Which year are we in right now?
1441 AH, which means after Hijra.
Oh, so it has been almost like 1,441 years after the Hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ that we are here. SubhanAllah, isn't that amazing? I was also, when we were doing a little bit of this, Amin Mustafa, remember we mentioned and I told you, and it was written there that it, according to the Hijrah, it started actually on 622 CE. What does that mean? Because if some children read that, they will be confused. Like, what is 622 CE? What is that?
CE is basically common era. So in this case, 622 CE would also mean 622 years after the birth of Isa alayhi salam.
So that's when the Hijrah calendar started. Started after the 622 years of the birth of the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Okay, cool. That's really interesting. So now something that I really want to share with you about the importance of the Hijri calendar. Okay, so before I actually go with that, there's one thing that I want to say is, let's just kind of go through all the names of the Hijri calendar. So we'll just quickly go through them, and let me do it with you. So the first one is Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal, Rabiul Thani, Jamadil Awwal, Jamadil Thani, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Zilqad, Zilhajj. Good, excellent, Ahmed Mustafa. Okay, so before the Islamic, the Islam came into Medina, even at that time, the Arabs were following the Hijri calendar. Now, the difference between Hijri calendar and what we follow is that the Hijri calendar is based upon the sighting of the moon, the slide that you just saw before that. So it's actually based upon the sighting of the moon, as you see here. Now, why is the moon so important? You must be thinking, why the moon? So you have to remember that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in Surah Ar-Rahman, وَالشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ بِحُسْبَانِ بِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So they are actually the signs in these things, which are actually creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's the moon or the sun, Allah has created them. And Allah has said that these are there for you because there are signs in that. And also because it is there for you because it's Allah's creation. And whatever Allah has created, there is barakah in it and there's a reason in it. However, the calendar that we follow is actually a man-made calendar. So I always give this example, and I was telling my son that it is just like an organic food and an inorganic food. So the organic food is something that, is natural, it's right there, created by Allah, there's no alteration in it, it's healthy, it gives energy to you. When you eat wholesome organic food, you're energetic, with no diseases. But when you alter it, like man-made, when you put some chemicals, stuff, and all that stuff, it doesn't have that that goodness in it that can come to you. So that's the difference between, you know, something that's prescribed by Allah and which is prescribed by the human being. And with that, there's also one of, in Surah Toba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he says that the number of the months with Allah is 12 in the book of Allah. And the day that he created the heavens and the earth, four of them are sacred, and that is the right religion. So which means that whenever and whatever Allah has created, there is barakah in it. And as Muslims, it has important significance for us. For example, if we talk about January, February, March, April. Now, those months actually have no meaning or no connection with us as Muslims. It may have a significance for people who were pagans, like because, you know, it is under the names of some pagan gods and goddesses, the January, February. Those months are named after those pagan gods. But for us as Muslims, these months are not based on that. It's actually based on the oneness of Allah, because they are made by Allah, they're created by Allah, they've been prescribed by Allah. So anything that's by Allah has barakah in it, and also because it has significance in it for us as Muslims. For example, Muharram. Why is Muharram significant? Because we actually, it's the beginning of the Islamic year, number one. And if you know, we always fast on the 10th of Muharram. And it signifies the very big event of the martyrdom of the grandson of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Imam Hussein Alayhi Wasallam. And then if we talk about, you know, Rajab, it actually signifies the Isra wal Mi'raj. And of course, the beautiful month of Ramadan. How beautiful is that, that when we are fasting, so this month, when we say Ramadan, it has an impact on us spiritually, because we are in that mode, right? If I say, oh, we are in the month of March, it really doesn't make any sense because we cannot relate with it. But when we say we are in the month of Ramadan, automatically we are thinking about Sahar, we are thinking about Iftar, we are thinking about, you know, our Sahur, our eating, our fast, you know, reading Quran and doing our salawat and, you know, our prayers and our, you know, standing and doing our qiyam. So we have all those beautiful things and memories that we can relate to. And it has an effect on us. But if I say, oh, we are in the month of March, actually it means nothing. And also the very important thing I want to share with you, something very interesting, that our scholars actually wrote books on different months. Whether it's the month of Rajab or it's the month of Ramadan, they actually wrote intensive books on these months. Can you imagine somebody writing a book on November? I haven't heard anyone writing a book on November, but it's so interesting that we have books written about our holy months, which means that these months are close to our deen, it's close to our human nature, and this is what actually makes us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all and everything that a mu'min does or a Muslim does, there's only one path to it, which is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I just found it so fascinating that even these beautiful Islamic months are not there for no reason. They are there because actually it connects us with the oneness of Allah. It actually connects us with that feeling that we need to have as Muslims. And I just thought it was very amazing. It was really interesting. So with that, we know that the month of Ramadan is coming, and me and you are, of course, very much excited. And I remember as a child, when I was young, we learned a song and for the months. And this is how I remember it up till now, you know, this the months of Islamic Hijrah. And I also shared it with my children. So I'm just going to end this session, inshallah, by singing this song for you all. You may not all understand the Urdu part of it, but of course you will all understand the month, because this is how it's also said in Urdu. So here you go. And with this, inshallah, I'll end my session. So this is the song of my childhood, and this is how it goes.
پہلا محرم دوسرا سفر اس کے آگے 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 ربیع الاول ربیع الثانی جماعت الاول جماعت الثانی پہلا محرم دوسرا سفر اس کے آگے 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 ربیع الاول ربیع الثانی جماعت الاول جماعت الثانی باقی چھکیے ترتیب باقی چھکیے ترتیب رجب شعبان رمضان شوال ذی الحجہ رجب شبان رمضان شوال فی خاص الحج بارہ مہینے اسلامی ہجری کے یاد رکھے بارہ مہینے اسلامی ہجری کے یاد رکھے سوچے سمجھے دیکھے بھولے ان کو نہ بھولے سوچے سمجھے دیکھے بھولے ان کو نہ بھولے پہلا محرم دوسرا سفر اس کے آگے 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 ربیع الاول ربیع الثانی جمادی الاول جمادی الثانی پہلا محرم دوسرا سفر اس کے آگے 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 ربیع الاول ربیع الثانی جمادی الاول جمادی الثانی ہو باقی چھ کی یہ ترتیب باقی چھ کی یہ ترتیب رجب شعبان رمضان شوال ذی قعدہ الحج رجب شعبان رمضان شوال ذی قعدہ الحج And with this I'll let you all go enjoy do a little research about the Gregorian calendar and you would know how the Pope Gregory he made this calendar and how it's not related to us as Muslims and do this research with your parents or your sibling and Inshallah ta'ala, we'll meet you next week. And with this, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair wa asalam jazah. Sister Aisha and our little scholar, mashallah, Ahmed over there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you, keep you safe. And alhamdulillah, I hope all of us can relate to the 12 months now. And those who were asking for some Urdu flavor in the class earlier, I hope they also benefited. So my wonderful friends who are sitting here, I have a little story to tell you before even I can move to the pillars of Iman. So listen on very carefully regarding this, especially for Jummah khutbah. And some of you can even tell me why I am telling you this right now. Okay, so Rasulullah ﷺ said that, you know, if somebody is in the form, like coming for khutbah and the person says, like, you know, just be quiet, pay attention. So then this person has done vain talk. Would anybody like to tell me why did I think about it right now? Go ahead and type in your chat box or you can raise a hand and I can take your comment. That when we are sitting in the Laika, very good. Laika, you want to raise your hand? I can open the mic and you can say that to it. Somebody is not reading probably. Okay, Michelle, go ahead.
Yeah, it's like, because like we were talking about it like a second ago that we had to be quiet while somebody was doing that and we kept on messaging people to be quiet and move away and stuff like that.
So what is the takeaway from this hadith now that we know that if somebody is even saying, hey guys, be quiet or pay attention to the teacher or something else or something else, some people were even went to a lot of extremes. So what should we be getting from this? That also some told us that this is like vain talk itself. Michelle?
Yeah.
You want to say something?
No, I'm just trying to mute that.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so Zainab, you want to say?
No, Mish, it's okay. She already said it.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. So, alhamdulillah. So, my lovely learners here. Yes, so Rahim and everybody else. And everybody over here, we need to learn from this that if somebody is not acting responsibly and they are writing something, the teacher is also watching. And who else is watching? Go ahead and type the name. Who else is watching and noting down everything? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So we will remind gently. And the teacher is here for reminders. So rest of you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to give reminders on my chat box here. We will, inshallah, deal with them. We are all, you know, new. This was our first week in the classroom. So we take time to learn some things, right? So alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And anybody who wrote things here and is feeling bad now that, you know what, it created problems for not only the friends, but the teachers, for even the moderators, for the admins here, then just say consciously one time, you know, Astaghfirullah, oh Allah forgive us, and inshallah we can be very smart learners in this room from going forward. So you want to hear a joke? You guys want to hear a joke? Go ahead, show me your smiles. Okay, so one time there was a person in Salah and you know, he was reading, there's a salah going on and a person walks in and this person says assalamu alaikum. So the other person who was in the prayer said wa alaikum assalam, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the third person said, Astaghfirullah, we do not talk in the salah. And the fourth person, he said, Alhamdulillah, I did not talk. So I hope you guys understand what I'm trying to tell you. And inshallah, in this classroom, in the chat box, when I'm talking with you, then yes, you can have a conversation. And if the voice is lagging, please check your own internet connection. If the voice is super clear for you, give me one smiley to show that you are sitting very happily, healthy, and alhamdulillah, I can see that. And yes, coronavirus is something which is on everybody's mind. It's okay, we can talk about it, but we will talk about it in a respectful way, right? It's a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These days, even if I'm stepping outside, you see something, it looks like, you know, like those small droppings outside, they even look like that, okay? So alhamdulillah, most of you, the voice is good. So Mustafa, please check your internet connection. Now, we were doing pillars of Iman last time. Let me see your notes flip to pillar of Iman. And who would like to tell me which belief we talked about? There's six pillars of Iman. So I just need the number one that we are talking about right now. Excellent, Rahim. Good job, mashallah. So the number one that we are doing is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And we talked about how important is that belief. And if all the beliefs are so important, if any belief is shaken, broken, or it's not so firm, then we will have consequences. Right? So how many of us believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sitting here in this room? Go ahead and type one. That yes, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Alhamdulillah, you are so special. You have no idea by the end of this course how more special you're going to become, right? So alhamdulillah, what a huge blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we believe in one Allah. And we can all say this, amantu billah. We will keep memorizing some of these words. By the end, we can say all six of them together, okay? So when I believe in Allah, then I become like an upright tree. Even if the wind blows, even if there are problems around me, even there are things happening, I do not lose form and I do not fall down. I stay very firm and I become very responsible and a very confident person. So even if people are writing things to distract me, even if shaitan is making whispers in my ear, I just say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, and I can stay very focused despite of all those things. If I believe in Allah, then I understand the message of Suratul Ikhlas. Go ahead and write it next to your belief in Allah, which is Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. So say Allah, He's the only one. Yes, Anna, we will do this in our next weeks, inshallah, the rest of them, right? So the Malaika and the Kutub and the Rasul, we will do it in the next session. But today we just want to focus it. When I say that I believe in Allah, I believe that Allah is one. Allah is Samad. He doesn't need me, right? He doesn't need me. No one is like Him and He's like no one. Please write this in your bullet points. He has no father, no daughter, no son. There are millions of people out there who don't know this. And inshallah, you will be our ambassadors and you will take this message to all those people and let them know there's no one like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And when you say that I believe in Allah, then you pick up a dollar bill, you see it over there, in God we trust. So you know how related this is to La ilaha illallah, because we believe in the same God. Allah is the same God of Moses and Jesus and Aaron and Enoch and John and all the prophets that came. They believe in that same one Allah. So when we say La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, we are mentioning the same one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So today I am just going to ask you, if you believe in that one Allah, that's where when you recite it in Surah Fatiha as well and you say Alhamdulillah. Right? So you live in Canada, your money is not saying that. But if you walk outside, everything in this universe will remind you of Allah. The trees growing, the birds chirping, everything and anything, you will find that. Right? You're in Canada. Yes, we have friends from all over the world. But alhamdulillah, it's a blessing of Allah that all prayers are for Allah, the master of the worlds. Okay, now I have three case scenarios for you before we conclude the class today and we ask you, remind you of homework. So go ahead. Option number one, a question for you. Okay, you are on an interview panel with me and I'm giving you two cases. Option number one, do we worship the square building Kaaba or do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Go ahead and lock your answers. Option number one, we worship that square building. So if there are, you know, there are a lot of Hindus out there, they think, okay, we also worship idols and you are also worshiping the square building. So what do you think? We worship Kaaba or we worship Allah? MashaAllah, most of you gave me two and Allah, that's excellent. Awesome. Question number two. There's a friend, his name is, let's call him, okay, let's not call him anything. He is wearing a necklace around his neck. And that's like an amulet. And I can read just one, two, and Asher also. You don't have to type it again and again. Okay, so he is wearing an amulet and he feels that this amulet is going to save him. Yes, this anonymous person, his parents put an amulet or like a taweez around him and they think this is going to protect him. So do you think he's protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or do you think he has to curl the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put it inside a necklace and an amulet and have to wear it? What do you think? Yes or no? Yes or no? Nope. Excellent. So if you are a believer in Allah, you know that our belief is in Allah and we don't make partners with Allah. So we put our complete trust in Allah alone. Okay. Number three. I have another friend and this friend, his parents want to go to a special saint's grave, to a special graveyard. And this is like a very special person. It could be the tomb of the Prophet or it could be tomb of a local saint and he has died in this grave is over there. They want to go there to supplicate something special. Maybe they're going there to ask this saint to protect them from coronavirus. Do you think they are doing the right thing? Option number one is yes, they are doing the right thing. Or option number two is no, that's something so wrong. They can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from wherever they are. Masha Allah, tabarakallah. With that, I am so proud of you that you are strong believers and you know that we not only believe in Allah, we also listen to Allah's commands and these commands are given to us in the Quran and Sunnah. So inshallah, I hope you have memorized the dua that we worked on yesterday. Those still working, I will give you some more time to memorize. And Suratul Ma'un, you're going to work on the translation, inshallah. You're going to work on word by word learning the translation so that when you stand in Salah, you know what Suratul Ma'un is all about. And you all pledge with me that I learn, I teach. So yesterday I was able to memorize the dua. Then I had my family memorize the dua. And then even when I FaceTimed with my brother and his son and nephew in all the way in Chicago, I helped them memorize this dua, right? So the dua was, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-barasi wal-jununi wal-juzami wa min sayyil asqami. So with that, keep each other in du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all protected from harm. And I will miss you tomorrow and day after tomorrow and day after tomorrow. And when are you going to be with me again? Go ahead and type the day. When are you going to be with me again? Which day? Yes, let's see. Which day? We are going to meet here again on next Tuesday. Good job, Maaz, inshallah. And if you have any questions, any comments, I will still stay on the chat because the time is officially up. So I'll still stay on the chat. But you know that if you have any questions, comments, you can send it to the email in charge and you can send it to our email address and we can take care of that. Okay, so stay happy and spread happiness. A reminder for all of us. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. By time, mankind is in loss except for those who reminded each other, except for those who believed, who did the righteous deeds, who reminded each other of haq, and who reminded each other of patience. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
يا حامل القرآن قد خصك الله.